Welcome to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. Get Your Barbecue On is a show for backyard cooks looking for tips and insight into barbecuing, grilling, entertaining, and enjoying themselves outside with delicious food. Each week, we'll share some barbecuing and grilling tips, techniques, recipes, and a few pitmaster secrets you just have to know. Every show will feature fun, interesting, and informative guests. And we'll also answer listener questions. Please send your questions to getyourbbqon@gmail.com or visit our website at kenshardwoodbbq.com and click podcast. Welcome to Get Your Barbecue On the Podcast. I'm Ken Alexander, here with my co-host, the doctor. Dr. Andre Jones.
That's me.
All right.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Good. We're good.
Yeah, so...
What we got going on today?
Today, we've got a couple things. First, let me talk about our guest a bit.
Okay.
He's been in the radio business 23 years.
23 years.
23 years,
that's yeah. Majority of my life.
Yeah. He's done a lot of shows, but he's got about four shows on right now on KVOI 1030 The Voice.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a very interesting conversation today.
Absolutely.
With Mr. Charles Heller.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Radio broadcaster extraordinaire.
Exactly.
Yeah. Radio host, yeah.
Anyone who knows how to do it, it's him.
Right, right. He definitely knows how to do it. And it's going to be a great conversation. We're going to talk about a variety of subjects, mostly, you know, some little politics, mm-hmm. guns. Mm. Those are a lot of subjects that Charles likes to talk about.
Got it.
So please stay tuned.
Absolutely.
For
please.
The second half of the show.
Yeah.
I promise you it'll be very interesting.
Absolutely.
All right. So, but on the first half.
In the meantime, in between time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What are we doing today?
Today, you know how we always talk about the grill mm-hmm. and grilling is mm-hmm. high heat and fast.
Fast, right.
Yeah. But today, we're going to talk about how to use the grill to barbecue.
Oh?
Low and slow.
Low and slow.
With some smoke.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you trying to say it's going to become a smoker here?
Yeah, well, we're going to use it to smoke meat.
Really?
Right, right, right. So we're just going to use a different technique mm-hmm. to cook some bigger pieces of meat.
Okay.
And get that smoky flavor mm-hmm. into them.
Mm. All right.
Right, right, right.
Mouth salivating already. That's right. Let's get started.
Now, and the thing about it is you already know most of these techniques, but we just never really talked about them in this aspect.
Really?
Right, 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 right. So the first thing you need is your smoke box or your smoke pouch.
Oh, yeah. That's right. My handy dandy. That's handy my favorite dandy, thing.
Right. That's where we're going to put our wood chips in there, mm-hmm. and that's going to give us that smoke and the smoky flavor mm. that will just permeate throughout the meat.
Ooh.
Right.
Oh,
right,
I love it.
Right,
yes.
Right.
And so, it works so well too.
Yeah.
And it's easy to set up too.
Easy to set up.
Yeah.
Easy to set up if you don't have the box, because you mm-hmm. can get like a little cast iron box mm-hmm. or just, you know, some other type of metal box, and you just throw the wood chips in there.
Right.
We don't soak our wood chips.
Nope.
We put them in there and set them right on top of the grill on the
right.
fire.
Yeah, put it to the side so that right. way it just smokes out.
Smokes, mm-hmm. yeah, smokes. So the other thing is we're going to set up for indirect
Of course,
heat.
Of course, right? That makes sense.
Right, so we're going to set up and we're going to put the big piece of meat.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be pork, it could be a brisket, it could be whatever, it could be a turkey,
yeah.
whatever you like to smoke.
Mm.
So we're going to set it up. So one side is, we're going to set it up for direct,
mm-hmm.
and you're just going to have that flame up medium to high,
yep.
just whatever temperature you're trying to cook. Because if you're trying to cook at, you know, a lot of times you're smoking anywhere from 200 to mm-hmm. 200 and, you know, some people go up to like 245, 250, as right. much as that.
Right. But not any more than that.
No. Yeah. Typically, if I'm doing it on a gas grill, I'm going to go somewhere around 225 degrees.
That makes sense. Right.
Right, right. And you have, it's a couple things you can do. Most grills have the thermometer mm-hmm. on the hood of the
right.
of the grill.
Right.
Of the top. Or you could also use a handy dandy
meat thermometer.
Yeah. Mm. What's that digital meat thermometer you just bought?
Yes, I did. Ago. Yeah. Bluetooth. Right, got that. Right, yeah. Right. Right.
Because one of the things is when you're smoking on a gas grill, we don't want to be lifting the top up and down, up and down.
No looky-loo.
So it would be very helpful mm-hmm. if you did have that digital thermometer, but yeah. it's not required because you're not going to check on it. But I'm talking about you have to let hours go by before right. you really check on it.
Right.
Right. And just if the temperature is there on the top of the grill and mm-hmm. it says 225, then you're good.
Yeah.
And so you're just going to trust the grill mm-hmm. and just kind of leave it and let it cook.
Ooh, okay. Trust.
Right. Trust. Yeah. Trust. Yeah. So here we go. What are the steps? You want to preheat your grill.
Right.
You want to get the indirect side. You want, in this case, you want to use like a drip pan.
Really?
So, yeah, under the meat, and you could put some water in the little drip pan just to bring in some moisture in.
Okay.
Especially, you know, with a gas grill, you don't really have a lot of, like the charcoal grills, like the kettle and all that, you just really seal it, and you got a lot of stuff going on, mm-hmm. and, you know, the smoke's really not escaping, and the moisture's not. But for like the gas grill, definitely you want to have like a little water pan. You want it sitting under the, and you sit it over there, you sit it under roast on the indirect side.
Okay.
Or whatever it is you're cooking.
Yeah.
Right. So, and then you're going to lubricate the, mm-hmm. yeah, the grates.
Right.
So you're going to use some type of oil.
Right. Cooking non-stick oil. Solution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some kind of non-stick cooking oil or something.
Yeah.
The grates. And then, this case, we want to take our smoke box, and we want it kind of halfway on the lighted side and, you know, the indirect side.
Really? Yeah, yeah. Right in the
yeah,
middle?
Yeah, just make those chips last a little longer okay. so they won't burn up as quickly. Yeah. And so we'll just keep it like that. And so, I mean, that's basically it. That's how you set it up. I mean, it's really easy. And like we see, you know, the most important temperature when you're cooking is
the internal temperature
of the meat. Mm-hmm. And depending on how big your roast is, how big your turkey is, how sure. big, you know, that'll determine when it gets to temperature, then it's done.
Right.
But yeah, it's that temperature that you really, that's the most important temperature.
Of course.
But that's basically it, how you set it up for smoking the gas grill.
Really? Well, that's really simple. Yeah. That's really, really simple.
Right, right. That's it. You want to turn up on the direct side. You want to have the heat high mm-hmm. enough so you can continue to keep that constant temperature yeah. on the grill. So you may have to adjust it a little bit.
Right. Makes sense.
Right.
Makes sense.
That's it.
Easy.
Easy.
Very, very easy.
Smoking on a gas grill. Simple.
Very simple. Right. Anyone can do it. Oh my gosh.
Anyone can do it. I mean, and when you do it, you can have all your, as far as the prep, basting and any of all that, or
right.
mopping, or mm-hmm. you can do all of that stuff when you do raise it up and check on it and
right.
all those things.
That's easy. You know, actually, I'm about to move into a townhome. So
wow.
it has a yard and I can grill.
You
I can actually use my
use
big grill.
The new grill.
Yes. Wow. Yes. So
that's going to open up a lot of, it's going to give you a lot of options. Now.
Yes. Yes. I get to actually do indirect heat the real way and not my
right.
like
little
halfway.
Yeah. like, yeah. Your little apartment patio yeah. type grill.
yeah. It's worked, but man,
I
really want to try the indirect. I really, especially with ribs.
Well, that's cool. I'm really excited about the doctor, the grill master in training.
That's right.
Being able to, use the new gas grill.
That's right. And indirect heat and smoke. Oh,
right.
I'm looking forward to it.
So that's about it for using the gas grill as a smoker.
Easy enough.
All right. Well, it's about time for us to take a break.
Uh-huh.
And when we return,
yeah,
we're going to answer a listener question and then check in with the doctor.
Uh-oh.
Our grill master and pit master in training.
Da-da-da-da.
All right. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
We here at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue would like to thank the fine people of Southern Arizona for voting us the best barbecue in town. So come on down and get your barbecue on at Ken's.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, the podcast. I'm here with the doctor.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dr. Andre Jones.
That's right.
It's that time to answer a listener question.
Yeah.
What's the question for today?
I got Sally from San Jose, California, asking, what is the proper way to thaw out meat?
Oh, the thaw meat. You know, we talked about that a little bit.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And, the proper way to thaw meat, and it depends on how much time you have.
Oh.
One is, and there's a few different ways.
Okay.
If you have days.
Mm-hmm.
You take the meat out of the freezer and you set it in the refrigerator and then just let it thaw in the refrigerator.
Okay.
Right. That's how we do it at the restaurant.
Okay.
If we have something in the freezer, we just plan it out. We know we're going to need to cook it in so many days,
mm-hmm.
and just let it sit in the walk-in refrigerator for a few days. And typically it's like 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
And it's thawed.
All right. Easy enough.
Yeah. Especially like around Thanksgiving, if you got frozen turkeys or you want a turkey or something, take that baby out a few days ahead of time, sit in the refrigerator. That's a very good way to do it. You could also thaw in the microwave.
Really?
Yeah, because most white microwaves have a defrost setting.
Yes.
You just program the weight of the food in the microwave, and then you just cut it on and let the microwave, but depending on how big it is, because I don't think you can really thaw a brisket out. Depending on how big it is.
Right.
In a microwave.
Sure. Leave it in for a day.
Yeah. Yeah. So the methods I'm talking about are all approved by the USDA.
Perfect.
Yeah. And also by Pima County Health Department.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think what we said, the microwave. And then also you can thaw it, but under running water.
Right.
So... you can put it in your sink if you have a chicken that you need to thaw,
mm-hmm.
or you have fish or something like that. Another approved method is that you turn on, you set it under running cold water, and
really?
Until it thaws. Yeah,
cold water, not hot water.
No, not hot water. The thing about it is, what you're trying to do is prevent foodborne illnesses.
Right.
Right. And running it under cold water. And then once it gets down and it's thawed, you need to go ahead and cook it.
Okay.
Right.
Immediately.
Yeah,
right.
Right. Immediately. So you got the microwave, you can put it under cold running water,
mm-hmm.
or in the refrigerator.
Easy enough.
Right. Those are the USDA approved methods for thawing meat.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sally, for the question, and hopefully that answered your question. You can leave more questions by going to or sending an email to getyourbbqon@gmail.com or by going to the website kenshardwoodbbq.com, clicking on podcast, and you can leave a question down below.
All right. Well, it's that time for us to check in with our grill master and pit master in training,
dun, 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 dun.
The doctor,
dun, dun, dun,
Dr.
Dun.
Andre Jones.
Dun, dun, dun.
What's been happening?
Chicken.
Chicken.
Chicken and lots of chicken.
Pollo.
Yes. Right. Yes. I've been doing chicken and steak, actually. I've been going back and forth chicken and steak. Yeah.
Right.
Trying new ways to do steak, trying new ways to do chicken, trying new ways to do steak, trying new ways to do chicken. That's kind of been what I've been doing.
All right.
I've been playing around with a lot of seasoning, mixing the flavors together, looking at my spritz and seeing what else I can do with the spritz.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah. 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 So what it was, this is it's chicken week. And for chicken week, I decided to to look at different seasonings. So I'm trying to stay away from barbecue because that's by default my favorite.
Okay. Okay. So you're trying out some new flavors.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay,
and the goal is to make the kid go, wow, Dad, this is fantastic.
Wow the kid.
Exactly.
Okay, all right, yeah,
if I can wow the kid, that means I'm on to something. That's what it is. So I've been kind of playing around with Montreal chicken. That's what I've been playing around with as a seasoning.
Yeah, the old Montreal seasoning.
Yeah. It's very unique. I like the way it tastes. It blends well with just about everything else I put in there. I had that. I also had some bourbon, a little bit of bourbon barbecue is what it's called.
Okay.
So I used that. I know I try to stay away from barbecue, but I really wanted to try this one. It had a good smell to it. And then the last one was sweet and smoky.
Sweet and smoky.
Yeah. And it really does smell smoky and as well as sweet. And so funny that we talked about in the first part, our wonderful wood pouch. Because I went ahead and I created a wood pouch using good old apple wood. Because
are you really getting that smoky flavor in
I
there?
I am. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Because here's what I do, actually. So I have to set things up for indirect heat.
I have to create
my indirect heat on my grill. You know, I spray everything down, nonstick solution. And I get my pouch and I let everything warm up together. So by the time I'm putting the chicken on, it's nice and smoky already.
That's what you need to do. You need to, as you're preheating the grill, the smoke pouch or the smoke box needs to be on the grill.
Yeah, so that way it's smelling good. Right. And, this is so great. I rub the chicken down, you know, really rub them down. And then I did something more purposely than I usually do. You know, usually I just wait for my daughter to smell it, you know, and go, wow, Dad, what are you cooking? But I actually went into her room. She had a friend over and I'm like, smell, just smell. And they're like, wow, this smells great.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I want to hear.
Yeah.
So put them all on the grill, put them down. Didn't really cook them too fast. I wanted to bring it down like I did the last bout for WrestleMania, you know. Didn't want to cook them too fast. I wanted to see what happens. Can I replicate that? Because that chicken was really good. So bring the frames down, cool it down a little bit, and walk away. And go away.
All right. Let it do its thing.
Let it do its thing. Exactly. In the meantime, I had a little bit more of the seasoning that I had. So I went ahead and put that in barbecue sauce. I totally cheated, went straight barbecue. Put it all in barbecue sauce, mixed it all together, just kind of made my own barbecue sauce, right?
Yeah.
And then once the chicken was all done, brought it back in, and then I put the sauce on top because I haven't done that in a while.
And I wanted to put some sauce on top. Right, which is, it's cool. Right before it's done,
you just start
getting it. Yeah, it's nice.
We get it done. I let it sit for 5 minutes and I'm like thinking about it. Everything else is created. Everything, my potato scallops is made. My mixed veggies are good. And my Hawaiian roll, of course.
Right.
Because I never go far. Wrong with an Hawaiian roll.
How can you?
Exactly. And then when it was dinner time, it's funny. My daughter and her friend, they'll have like a piece of chicken, eat half, and go, that was good. I don't want any more.
Right.
They do this a lot. They had two pieces. Both of them had two pieces.
Right.
And it was like, gone. They're like, this was great. I'm like, score. Yeah, that's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
That's what I hear. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. And this weekend, I'm actually going to be going to Vegas. So I'm not going to do anything.
Wow.
Yes.
Vegas.
Yes. I'm going to go see family, stay with family in Vegas and let them take care of me.
Right. They're not going to say, hey, I've been hearing you on the podcast.
Right.
Do you mind getting out there on the grill?
I hope not. This is my vacation, for crying out loud. So I'm excited to see what my godbrother actually makes for me. So I'm really excited.
That's cool.
He knows I love ribs. He knows I love zucchini. He knows I love like a few things. So.
Yeah.
We'll see. He lives in an apartment. I'm sure his apartment has a grill. So
right.
We'll see what we can make.
Well, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right, doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Doctor, our grill master, pit master, and trainer.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we look forward to hearing from you next week.
Sounds good. I'll have a story to share, I'm sure.
Yeah, May's fast approaching. Finals are coming up.
Yes.
Yeah, make sure you get us, you know, have a very relaxing time on that vacation because you got some cooking to do.
You got it. Looking forward to it.
All right. Hey, it's time for us to take another break. But when we come back, we're going to be bringing you the good news.
Ooh-hoo.
Yeah, we got Charles Heller.
All right.
Yeah, he's coming. You know, it's like we talked about. He's on KVOI 1030 The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
Hosts about 4 shows right now.
Wow.
Been in the business 23 years.
It's
going to be a great conversation. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey folks, it's your favorite pitmaster or trainee, Dr. Andre Jones himself, and I'm super excited to let you know that I have my very own show. That's right, I'm the host of All About the Win podcast, where myself and my fellow players interview local and national entrepreneurs about their greatest accomplishment thus far. Plus, we add a little bit of old school magic to bring those stories to life. You can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify by searching All About the Win, that's W-I-N podcast, or visit our website at www.allaboutthewin, that's W-I-N podcast.com, and be prepared to be inspired and entertained.
This is Ken from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue Restaurant, where we have created a blend of barbecue and southern cooking. We have taken the best barbecue styles and flavors from Texas, Missouri, and the Carolinas. What food has meant to my family is a way to come together in fellowship. We invite you to come and join us. We are located at 5250 East 22nd Street in Tucson at the crossroads of Craycroft and 22nd. Call us at 520-745-4746. Come on down and get your barbecue on.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On, the podcast. This is Ken Alexander here with the doctor.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dr. Andre Jones.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, it's that time for us to bring you the good news.
Woohoo! Good news.
Yes. We have a radio broadcasting stalwart here today.
Oh, man, the studio's not ready.
Yeah.
I didn't have time to clean it up.
Yeah, really.
Oh, no. The wires are exposed. Oh, no.
So we have Charles Heller here joining us today.
Woohoo!
Long time radio podcast.
And since the wires are out, yeah, he's ready to cut.
And always ready to go. He's always ready. He is, man, so many radio shows.
I don't know how he does it.
I'm just going to talk about 4 today.
Go for it. Yeah.
Liberty Watch.
Yeah.
America's Fabric.
Yeah.
Swap Shop.
Uh-huh.
And he's also standing in for America Armed and Free.
It's me. Yeah. Wow.
It's all me.
And how many years have you been doing this? How
20,
long have you been
23, since 1999. Well, on May the 16th, it'll be 23 years.
23.
Yeah. Now, so, no, you've been doing America's Armed and Free for a long time. It's America's Fabric that you're...
In the last 9 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
wow,
yeah, the host retired from that, and the show was going to fold, or somebody took it over. So I took it over, and I aggregated content. And then he came back in a couple of years later, and then he finally retired again at age 87.
Wow.
So I decided it was a valuable property that needed to be kept going, and yeah, I've been keeping it going.
Man, wow, that is a lot. Yeah.
For a full-time sales career.
Right, wow. Right. You also sell.
Right. Well, in order to afford my addiction to radio, I sell it.
Got it. I like that.
So these shows take place over on 1030 The Voice.
Yes, sir. Right. They are on AM 1030 KVOI and the Voice, and we are soldiering on.
Wow! I love it. So, how did all this start? How did you get to Tucson?
I got to Tucson because I was a political refugee for the right to keep and bear arms from Chicago. And I, you know, you could have any handgun you wanted as long as it was registered. Okay, here's my registration. Sorry, we don't accept those. That's what the lawsuit in Chicago in 2010 was about with Otis McDonald.
Oh.
McDonald was a very, very honorable guy. I got to meet him once at the Gun Rights Policy Conference. And he wanted to have a gun in his neighborhood because he had a lot of drug activity. All he wanted was a 38 revolver in his house.
Right.
Yeah. And they wouldn't let it. And he couldn't do that because... they wouldn't accept his registration, and you couldn't own an unregistered gun. So he sued, and eventually it got to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, you can regulate, but you can't regulate them out of existence. So, and that's what happened. The Heller case, not related to me, the Heller case in 2008 yeah. said you the right to keep and bear arms is not conditional on a militia service, and but it only applied to Washington, D.C. The McDonald case incorporated the Second Amendment upon the states and said you can regulate if you want, but you cannot regulate to the point where you regulate it out of existence. And that's what the McDonald lawsuit was about. Well, anyway, I left Chicago for that reason.
Yeah.
I came to Arizona where a free man wore a gun on his hip and nobody cared.
Right.
And that's what I did. I got here. I turned 21. I got here and I bought a gun.
Wow.
You know, yeah. It's a little 22 9-shot Harrington and Richardson revolver and walked around with it on my hip and felt like a man. Right. And
what, along, 22?
Yeah, 22. 9-shot. Wow. Harrington and Richardson 9.49. Double action. Looked like a cowboy gun, but it was a double action revolver.
Wow. Okay.
Anyway, so I wonder where that went. Anyway,
by the way,
you know, it's, yeah, by the way, it's
what year did you move out here?
78.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And then November 30th of 78.
Wow.
I got here.
Okay.
And so over the years, I was in in-home music sales for a while.
Oh.
I didn't do well in that. And so I got a job.
In-home music sales. What is in-home music sales?
Well, it was a sales company and it didn't.
Oh,
it didn't
okay.
pan out well
right,
that,
right.
that I worked for. And so I left them and I was literally down to my last 8 cents. And I ran into a lady who introduced me to her son-in-law and I got into the advertising specialty business.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
And I did that for 2 years and 3 months with them. And then I decided I liked the business, but I didn't like the people. So I was going to go out on my own. I started my own company. I did that.
Really?
I did the success promotions.
Okay.
I still own the company, but it's not very active.
Yeah.
And then I decided to get into radio and I went and visited a radio station. I said, I'd like to do a radio show and buy the airtime from you. And they said, well, when you want to start? I said, this weekend. And they said, look around, jerk, do you see a radio station? And it was all just, there wasn't even drywall. There were just studs.
Whoa.
With wires hanging down for where the microphones were going to be.
Right.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know. And he says, come back in 6 weeks. I said, okay. And at which point, I told them I was a fan of this format called Swap Shop. I'd actually heard this program on the radio in Interlochen, Michigan with the host named John DeRemus, whose voice sounded like his name.
Yeah.
Really?
And y'all, it's just a mellifluous, beautiful voice. Anyway, I heard the Swap Shop and I liked it.
Yeah.
And so I had this idea in my head. Plus, there'd been one called Swap Shop on 790 and it had gone away a few years before.
Okay.
And the guy I was talking to used to run 790, Pat Porter.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you got to do a swap shop. He says, we're not doing that. I said, no, you got to. You're the only station left that can do it. He goes, get it through your head. We're not doing it. I said, get it through your head. I'm not leaving till you do.
Right. Persistent.
The only way we're doing this is if you pay us for the airtime and then you host it. I said, how much? He told me. I stuck my hand across the table and said, deal.
Wow.
At that point, he realized he was in sales.
Yeah.
Not management.
Right. Yeah.
And so eight weeks later, I started my first show. I had 31 callers in my first hour because I said to people, well, are you my friend? And they said, sure, I'm your friend. I said, if you want to stay that way, you're going to call me on Saturday morning between 9 and 10. Well, I was committed.
Right.
And I had 31 phone calls. I had at the time at least 32 friends.
Yeah.
Lowered it to 31.
31 after the show was 31.
Right. And I've never had 31 calls in any other hour in my life. But anyway, that's what happened. And everybody called in with something for sale, whether it was for sale or actually or not.
Right.
But they did. I told them that's what you will do if you want to stay my friend. And we got calls. And it was successful from the beginning. I had sponsors from the first day.
That's awesome.
The show was paid for. I had 4 sponsors.
Wow.
One of whom I kept for 21 years So, Maurice at A Handyman's Haven. And he retired. And so, okay, got it. About 2 years later, through another long story that I don't really want to get into, but they gave me another 2 hours and I developed Liberty Watch and America Armed and Free. Swap Shop was always kind of a test bed.
Right.
The show I really wanted to do was Liberty Watch, so the government remains servant, not master.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then in order to do that, I know that you have to bring people good information that doesn't put them to sleep.
Right.
And
right.
So what I did was I learned how to be infotaining.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had an author on, I actually read the book.
Right.
From cover to cover.
Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't you?
Right. You should
right.
Think
you should
know what
would,
you're talking
right.
about.
Right, right.
And so I ask probative questions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And maybe not dispositive of an entire issue, but at least
right.
they were probative of the issue. And I tried to find out, and I only interview people I know something about the topic.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
I don't
yes.
have to be a topic expert on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Most things I'm not, but I know something or have an interest in it, and I know where to look for information.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I read very, very carefully. And when author says something, I look for dichotomies where one thing they say may contradict another.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm especially careful with people who aren't careful with their sources.
Got it.
And so when one of their sources doesn't agree with them, but they quote it as a source, that becomes a topic of conversation.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes
sure.
uncomfortably so for the person being interviewed.
Right.
That's not often that happens. It's
sure.
usually not that way. Mm-hmm. Once in a while, though, it does lead to fireworks.
Yeah.
Right. I guess it could. Easily.
Yeah. And I don't do the show to create fireworks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm more into LED lighting than incandescent. Okay. I want light, not heat.
Right.
But
right.
I'm willing for there to be heat if it's a natural consequence of the friction involved, but I don't do the show for friction. I do the show for information.
Right, right, right. I mean, it sounds like you just really interested in getting your listeners the correct information or good.
Right. And what I'm trying to do is I get them to think. Like, for instance, yesterday on the Swap Shop, I ran a commercial for the first time for one of my clients who did a brilliantly, he has his own studio, and he invites the retired producer from KVOI to his house, and the two of them have these creative 2-3 hour sessions, and they gin up a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this guy does character voices, and they use Adobe Audition to process stuff to make different, you know, he can do Bullwinkle, and he can do Rocky.
Right.
So,
oh,
you know,
so
I mean,
cool.
with all the software.
Right.
So anyway, he gins up this commercial where Alexander Graham Bell, his coach, breaks. And he says, if only I had a coach phone. And this is how he supposedly invents the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, and he invents the phone. He says, I should call Watson. Oh, what is his number? Oh, yes, it's 1. And you hear a
right.
rotary phone dialing
right.
1.
Right.
All right. And anyway, so I said, I said on the air, that's a brilliant commercial, but I think wouldn't Watson's number be 2? And a caller calls me up and he says, not to disagree with you, but wouldn't Bell's number be 0 because he's the operator and therefore making Watson's number 1? I said, you're right and I'm wrong.
Very well, yes.
But right. See, what happened was that commercial and my talking about it made people think critically. And that's
right.
what I want to do. I don't want agreement. What I want is a free flow of information about technology and about law and about the country and our steadfast constitution, which is not a living constitution. I want discussion about that.
Right, right.
And I want to use it to solve the problems we have.
Mm-hmm.
And 'cause, you know, there are problems. There's a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. We need to solve those problems. And we need to have discussion that's free. I need to be able to tell you, you know, I think what you're doing is not productive.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could do that better. And you need to be able to tell me, you know what? I'm not sure your criticism is valid.
Mm.
Right. You're trying to generate dialogue.
Right.
Constructive.
Right.
And I'm
dialogue.
Not trying to be right. I want to be correct.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, correct.
Ken's an example. You and I don't agree about several things.
Right, okay? Right. We don't.
We've never had come to loggerheads about it. And I've learned, so I actually used something you told me in an America's Fabric broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
About the way that certain communities view certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually used that point of view in, brought that point of the view into the America's Fabric discussion. Oh. That's a non-call-in show. It's an informational, it's a podcast type show on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Oh, that's great.
Comes on at 8:04 in the morning on KBOI.
Mm-hmm. So you touched a little bit on Liberty Watch. We mm-hmm. talked a bit about America's Fabric and Swap Shop. And tell us about America Armed and Free.
Yeah.
You got to get the inflection. America Armed and Free.
Armed
and Free.
Yeah, that's it.
There you go.
Yeah.
More enthusiasm in the free. Yeah, exactly.
So America Armed and Free is about things with a muzzle, a nozzle, or a blade. Things that fly, shoot, or cut.
Right.
And it comes from my experience as a history buff, especially with naval topics and topics of undersea warfare, but any type of naval conflict from the age of fighting sail to space.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And my experience as a defense instructor for the last 27 years, teaching the Arizona Concealed Weapons Permit class and having much of the laws on self-defense committed to memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I juxtapose my knowledge of self-defense with the stuff I read from my guests. One fella had just written his 40th book. It was about, he was a retired helicopter pilot, Vietnam era helicopter pilot.
Yeah.
And he'd gotten on the GI Bill, he had gotten his PhD. And he had started writing books and never stopped. And he was based in Germany, so he had a lot of access to Europe, to European mm-hmm. records. Mm-hmm. And he's talking, he's in the Germans have a ministry of history because mm-hmm. they don't ever want to forget what they goofed, what they so screwed the world with in World War II.
Oh, right.
They don't ever want to forget that.
Right.
And Hitler's papers are there.
Really?
And so he talked about, I said, what's the most stunning thing you've ever had in your research? And he said to me, he said, well, you know, after Hitler died, he had a last will that he wrote in the Führerbunker. And he says, it's known that it exists. He says, and he was having this discussion with several German officials, and the guy excused himself, this minister of history, and went and came back and actually brought Hitler's will, the physical will that had been written in the Führerbunker, and it was discovered afterwards and archived because, you know, it burned. Mm-hmm. And so the bunker burned. And he said to the minister, this is phenomenal that you've shown me this. He says, no, put your face down and smell. He put his nose in it, and you could smell the burnt embers of the Führerbunker in this paper.
Wow.
That's the kind of radio I want to do. People can't breathe when they're listening to that. That's the radio I want. I want the radio that keeps people from going to the bathroom.
Yeah, right. Because they're so glued to it that they don't want to leave.
You know, I'm going to start the foundation for creative constipation.
Right.
So that's what I try to do on the radio, is I try to draw people in, get them on the edge of their seat, and then make them laugh.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I try to do. And the result of that is you don't have to yell. You don't have to scream. Mm-hmm. It makes people stick.
Yeah.
So, you know. That's what I want to do. Sticky, sticky.
Yeah. Sticky, sticky.
And my father was a tanker in World War II. And so I've gone to all kinds of museums and all kinds of, I've been to 25 of the 29 submarines on display in the United States. I've been to two that aren't on display. The USS Tucson, I got to go to sea on her for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been on board the HMS Gotland, which is a submarine we leased for 2 years from Sweden to do opposing force exercises against American nuclear fast attack boats.
Hmm.
Oh, okay.
And that was a fascinating tour. That's a tour that most United States Navy submariners have never been on.
Wow.
And I've been on it. I got the tour the president wouldn't get.
Wow. That's awesome.
And it's air independent propulsion. It runs on liquid oxygen with a Stirling engine. It was developed in 1866.
Hmm.
It's an external combustion engine that only has 7 moving parts. Below 400 feet, there's no bubbles. And that's what causes sound, cavitation.
Mm-hmm.
Pop. That's what you're hearing. The swish, swish you're hearing is actually bubbles popping.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Below 400 feet, there's no bubbles. And below 5 knots, there's no sound. It is a silent, deadly hole in the water.
Wow.
And what I had Kenneth, the chief engineer of the boat, do is pull the covers off the Stirling, and I put my hands on it.
Oh, really?
Because I want to, and this is not an innuendo, I want to touch her hull. I want to touch her engines.
Right.
I want to feel the machinery. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I your cylinder to my mind.
Right.
Our cylinders are merging. Our mind is one.
Exactly.
I want to feel the steel. I want to feel the. I've been on Constitution 44 in Charlestown Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
I've touched the 15% of Constitution that is original.
Wow.
I've put my hand on the keelson. That's a part that Josiah Humphreys, the man who built her,
mm-hmm.
had his hands on.
Wow.
I have touched those spots.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, I can see your passion for the subject.
And it's not all about guns.
Right.
And it's not all about some silliness. It's about the basic concepts of who we are and how we're designed to be free and how we do that without fouling up each other's freedom.
Mm. Oh, okay.
How we get there.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it has a muzzle, a nozzle, or a blade.
Well, hey, with that, it's time for us to take a break. But when we return, we're going to come back and talk some more with Charles Heller. Mm-hmm. We're going to bring you some more good news. We'll be right back.
That's it.
Are you a local business or entrepreneur looking for the winning edge to promote your business? We here at Octavia Media got you covered. Our award-winning marketing strategies are guaranteed to produce the best results to make your business stand out beyond your competitors. You can find us at octaviamedia.com for more information. Octavia Media is a Black-owned business dedicated to building your brand and empowering your business.
Hey everyone, it's your favorite pitmaster in training, Dr. Andre Jones himself, and I'm super excited to let you know that I have my very own show. That's right, I am the host of All About the Win podcast, where myself and my fellow players interview local and national entrepreneurs about their greatest accomplishment thus far. Plus, we add a little bit of old school magic to make the stories come to life. You can check it out by going to www.allaboutthewinpodcast.com. That's www.allaboutthewinpodcast.com. And prepare to be inspired and entertained.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. I'm here with the doctor.
Dun, 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 dun.
And we are here having a great conversation with Charles Heller.
Uh-huh. Mm. Absolutely.
Right. So, Charles, you get Liberty Watch, America's Fabric, America Armed and Free. They all seem to have a theme. And tell us why you said earlier that, you know, you started with Swap Shop,
mm-hmm.
but you had this other thing in mind.
The goal was to get to doing Liberty Watch, but I needed a test bed to train myself how to learn to do radio.
Mm.
And one day the gal that was answering the phones for me didn't show up on the air in the studio. And so I was forced to, and I ran my own board. I run the soundboard myself and the phone screener didn't show up. So I just turned the phone around and I did it live on the air by turning my microphone off and answering the phone, asking the person's first name and saying, okay, hold on, and then putting that line on air and
whoa.
Then hitting my microphone on and say, okay, caller, you know, caller Andre, you're on the air.
Yeah.
What you got to buy, sell, trade, giveaway, or ask for? Mm-hmm. And I realized that after a little bit of frustration, I developed a rhythm of where I could ask Andre what he's got to buy, sell, trade, giveaway, or ask for. And then when the phone rang again, I could mute the microphone, pick it up and say, calling to get on the air, your first name, please. Okay, hold on. You'll be after Andre. And Andre said, okay, Andre, anything else to buy, sell, trade, give away, or ask for? No, your phone number, please. Please give it at the speed of the pen. And you'd say, you know, 444-4444. I said, okay, I'll repeat that back. I repeat it back. Okay, and after Andre, we have Mike. Mike, you're live on the Swap Shop. What you got?
Wow.
And, you know, and so I learned how to do all that. And then the piece de resistance came when I was producing for a guy named Bert Lee. In 2001 through 2002, or no, 2000 through 2001, he'd heard my Swap Shop, he'd heard me on the radio and invited me to be his producer on another radio station. So they already kind of didn't like me because I was working at another radio station.
Right.
And I was in their competing radio station.
Sure. Yeah. Trading.
And so, and I learned how to run the sound. That's where I really learned how to run the soundboard.
Got it.
And so I did that. And then one day, I was his, he taught me how to book radio shows.
Mm. Really?
And so yeah. And so he didn't really teach me, but he put me in a position where I was forced to learn.
Right. He had a.
And so, yeah. And then when I had a problem, I would ask him for some counseling on it. And he'd always ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I had a guest that didn't want to come on or recalcitrant prospect, he says, just ask them, do they want to sell books? If the person was an author, if they didn't want to come on, and they'd go, well, you know, you're going to sell books by being on my radio show.
Mm.
And so that's how you talk. And that's how I booked somebody on NASA, the most brilliant woman at NASA named Dr. Bonnie Dunbar,
mm-hmm.
3 PhDs and 2 masters.
Whoa.
And she didn't want to go on the radio. And I know. And then she agreed to come on for 15 minutes, and they're all 1 hour interviews. And I talked the NASA, Lucy Letwinski. I remember her name.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and I talked her into Dr. Dunbar doing a whole hour. And I learned how to do that. Well, one day I booked these 3 brilliant West Point cadets on the radio. And one was 3rd year and 2 were 2 year. And I brought them in and Bert just went through the ceiling. Why are you bringing me these children?
Mm.
And I saw his point. He'd been a colonel in the Marines,
right. Yeah.
And he saw them as what they were—not plebes,
right.
But beyond
cadets.
And it's like, I brought them to you, Bert, because they're the future of the country.
Ooh.
There's a high possibility that 1 out of 3 of them will reach flag rank, a general.
Mm-hmm.
And you are talking to the military future and possibly the future military history.
Mm.
This is like arguing with me that I shouldn't have booked Eisenhower in 1915. Okay.
Right.
And he goes, and he looks at me, because I usually didn't argue with him much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at me, he goes, what would you talk to him about? I said, we just had a major attack in the country, September 11th. Mm-hmm. Why don't you ask about the military response from their point of view of, you know, how that'll change their military service? He says, what else would you ask him about? Future development of weapons, integration of technology,
right.
All these things. I said, he says, you think that's an hour? I go, oh, that's 2 hours if you
right.
want it.
Right.
And he said, well, if you were going to interview him, how would you do it? I said, simple. I'd sit one in your chair. I'd sit one in the guest chair, and I'd sit one in the end chair, put them each in front of the microphone and tell them to ignore the guy behind the glass and just listen to your ears and do it. He goes, and you could do that. I go, yeah, I can do that. He goes, fine, it's your show. I'm leaving.
He's leaving?
Yeah. And he walks out on his own show.
Mm. No, you mean he left to go he on
left
break.
He left the building.
On break.
No, yeah, no, he left the building.
He went home.
And so, you know, I hyperventilated for a second and then I said, okay, cool it. Jerk, except I used a different epithet on myself.
Sure. Right,
and right. I said, you got this. I stood up straight and, you know, put my shoulders back and squared myself and said, gentlemen, Mr. Lee has had an emergency. I'll be hosting the show. I'll be setting you up in the studio and showing you what to do. Follow me. And they marched right behind me in step. Right into the studio.
Right.
I sat them down in the 3 chairs. I got their headphones on. I got their volumes adjusted. I ran around into the control room, which was through the glass, played the open of the program. I read their bios, and I just started interviewing them. I said, Bert's been called away. I'm stepping in for him. This is Charles. I'm his producer, and right now I'm the host. And I asked them, and I just went through it. We had a good hour.
Wow.
And I asked them some tough questions. And we had when we got to the end, I played the end music. And gentlemen, thank you for your service to the country, and second of all, for your time on the Bert Lee Show. And the show was over, and I had not realized quite how nervous I was to be hosting somebody. That was the first time I ever hosted somebody else's program.
Right.
That was in late 2001.
Wow.
And that's when I realized I did not need a phone screener. And I did. And these guys were talking. I'd ask them questions and calls would be coming in and I'd mute them. And what I did was I took a broken headset. I took a broken right side headset and I asked Chapman Broach, who was the program director, can I have this? He says, what are you going to do with it? I said, I'll use it. He says, how are you going to put it on your head? I said, don't worry about that, Chapman. And I went to Radio Shack and I bought a telephone headset, you know, the kind you plug in so that you can talk on a little boom microphone.
Yeah.
And I duct taped the two headsets together so that it made a full headset, because the one from Radio Shack was only a left side or right side headset.
Right.
It was a one-sided headset. I taped the broken headset to the at the top where they come together.
Right.
I taped them together in a serial taping so it held real well. And then I put it on, and then I had the radio going in my right ear and the telephone in my left ear, because Bert would not allow you to talk on the telephone when you were his producer.
Oh.
So what I used to do was, when I answered the calls, I'd tap the call, lean forward, and put my hand over my mouth, my face, like I had my chin, my chin on my hand, and he couldn't, and then I would talk without moving my lips. And he couldn't see that I was actually talking to the callers, and he thought I was paying attention to him. And I was, in my right ear. In my left ear, I was listening to the callers.
Right.
And after that, he never yelled at me about talking on the phone.
Mm.
And so it was. And so what I did was, I simply, when I was talking to these three cadets in the studio, I would listen to my right ear, listen to their answer, and then I would mute my microphone and answer the phone. I didn't have to pick it up. I just simply hit my phone button on the Radio Shack device, had it in my right ear. I roll the volume up a little bit so I could hear it over the radio in my right ear. And then if the caller wanted to ask me something, I'd say, hold on, caller, turn the mic. Can you expand on that a little bit? And I'd turn the microphone off again. And then the caller in my right ear, or in my left ear, could talk a little bit. And I said, okay, caller, your name, please. Okay, it's Jason. Okay, Jason. And Jason wants to ask Cadet Shmulowitz, about, and Jason would ask his question, and they'd go on, and I'd say, huh, that's really interesting. I'd dump Jason off the line and go, you know, along those lines, and I'd ask something as a follow-up, which would allow the next caller time to call in, and I juggled it. It's like handling the flight deck yourself.
Right.
But I did it.
Wow.
I haven't told that story in a long time.
Wow. did Lee ever hear that episode?
He listened to it on the way home. He said his highest compliment. Good show, Charles.
That was it.
That was basically kind of like the start for your...
That was trial by fire.
Trial by fire.
And it worked. I didn't get singed.
Right. So. I love it.
So not that there's anything wrong with well done, but I just, you know, I was forged in the flame, but not consumed by it.
Right. So these programs have been running 20 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they keep running? What is that? You've got a listening audience out there. What is it they just really enjoy about the show? What are you touching out there?
Well, I think I'm talking about the things that they believe in, about faith, about country, about basically Boy Scout morality.
Mm-hmm.
And about the things that make our country work, the things that who we are as a nation, who we are as a people, not to ignore our flaws or any mistakes we've made in the past, but to try and actually do what the preamble of the Constitution says, form a more perfect union in order to make us better people, which I think is totally possible. And the other thing is my job, I consider my job to be an uplift to people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to give them depression.
Right.
I'm here to give them a little bit of hope, a little bit of belief in themselves, and also to stimulate people to do things, to be a conduit for people to do things for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because embracing victimhood never works.
Mm-hmm.
It you know, you don't start a business and thinking it's somebody else's fault if you don't succeed, right?
That's absolutely correct.
That's very true.
Right. You don't. So I try to show people a way to be creative, to reuse things on the swap shop. And I get the funniest stuff that happens. Kai calls in with a Beach 18 for sale. I mean, it's just, I mean, you know, you find all kinds. Yeah, mostly it's, you know, refrigerators and pickup trucks and guns and stuff. And sometimes somebody calls in with a Beechcraft or at a Hawker Sydney jet for $8.6 million for sale. I don't know if he sold it on the swap shop or not.
Right, right, right.
People call in with $500,000 houses for sale because now there's getting to be the low end.
Right,
people,
right.
People Tucson, moving here.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
But I mean, just anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
One lady called in sobbing that her dog had run away in a thunderstorm, and it turned out that the animal control officer who had the dog in the truck heard it, heard the call, realized who the lady was, turned around, brought the dog back to her.
Wow. That's, I mean, that's
and
a great
that does
story.
Not happen every day on the swap
sure.
shop. But these are things that are possible mm-hmm. when you don't, when you have an unregulated free market governed only by common courtesy and common sense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had people prank call and I've had people try and say things you shouldn't say on the air, but mm-hmm. we've got a delay and, you know, it's not a problem. I can reach the delay. It's about as far away from me. The delay button is about as far away from me as the microphone on the next on the next table, which is about 6.5 feet away from me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I mean, the great thing is that's the exception.
Yeah. 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 Right. And people generally get the space. I got one lady who calls up about every other week and she raises chickens and she has eggs for sale. Sometimes she has chickens for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and she calls me from the chicken coop. So, you know, you can hear her say, and I got some eggs for sale. And you hear,
yeah, you got the chickens. Yeah.
And then she'll like trip on one of them.
That's funny.
You know, it's just, you know, and I've made promos out of her calls to me.
Right.
And it just, and I make a promo and I try to take a turn of something funny.
Mm-hmm.
One guy, what was it? One guy said to me, he says, I've got 4 bar stools and for sale and they're heavily, the seats are heavily populated with duct tape. I'd like $20 for one or $20 for 4.
Hmm.
And I said, I'm hearing a spousal imperative on there. And he goes, kinda. and I made that into a promo for the program.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
There's if you listen to what people are really saying, there's mm-hmm. something inside of it. There's some meaning you can grab a hold of and either elicit or make fun of.
Right.
Yeah.
So
cool.
That's what I do.
So you know, I'd really be interested to know because mm-hmm. you have, I think, Liberty Watch and America's Armed and Free that you periodically have guests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'd really be interested about your most interesting guest that you've been doing the show for a long time. Is there mm-hmm. is there like one or two guests that just kind of stick out or are very memorable?
Well, one guy was a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
His dad had liberated a concentration camp.
Ooh, yeah.
And he told his father's story about one of the survivors in the concentration camp
mm-hmm.
saying that we looked forward every time we heard bombers going over because we knew, even though they were bombing our country,
mm-hmm.
that they were going to liberate us and make us free. And every time we looked up at that American insignia on the airplane, we knew there was freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Another is a guest from England named Tony Wells.
Yes.
And Tony had been in the Royal Navy. He'd been a commander in the Royal Navy, and he worked with Naval Intelligence, and he was a liaison to the United States. And he got this offer to come over to the U.S. and work in the U.S. And you had to be a citizen to do it. And he discussed it with his superiors at the Royal Navy. And they said, Tony, that's a great opportunity. Do mm-hmm. it. He put his family on a 747 and moved to the United States and became a citizen. And I said, you've got such enthusiasm. He said, oh, yes, the British love America. And they and they have every reason to do so.
Mm.
I just, you know, there have been so many times. The lady that I had on yesterday, Dr. Cheng, mm-hmm, who's mm-hmm. one of the co-founders of the Epoch Times.
Yes, yes.
And we're talking about communism and her ability to speak up against it, even though she has family in China mm-hmm. who are at terrible risk
mm-hmm.
from the communists. And she says, because it's so important to tell people that communism is evil
mm-hmm.
and that wherever it exists, it just eats people's souls or something mm. like, I don't remember the exact word she, but it just, and it was one of those times where you felt like you couldn't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And there've been a number of those over the years. And there've been a couple where there's been one where I caught somebody whose endnotes refuted all of her points.
And
that became either she didn't write the book or she did and she was completely lying.
Right.
And that became the topic on the air where I said on page 14, you said, and I quote, and then you quote the source. And I actually read the whole URL, the 33-digit URL. I read it on the radio. And I said, when I click that in, it comes up with, which refutes your point. Can you juxtapose those two things?
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't. And then, and there were three other URLs. There was a pattern. They were all like that.
Sure, sure.
And so, you know, by the end of the interview, she was ready to hang up at about the 50-minute mark.
Right.
And I told her, well, look, a good host doesn't need a guest. And
wow.
I said, they're a nice accessory to have if they're not disingenuous.
Right.
And, mm-hmm. She did not have fun.
No.
But the audience sure did.
Sure. Right. Right.
At her expense. But
right.
Because she was lying.
Right.
Now, that's very rare. I had one guy recently who's been rebooked, mm-hmm. who's using disingenuous methods to try and get to a point. Mm. And he thinks that if he can say enough, he can talk me into agreeing with him.
Right.
But as long as he's not swearing and I'm not raising my voice, it's good radio. I'd rather have people who disagree with me than who agree. It makes for better radio. It makes me think more. Mm-hmm. Makes me refine my points of view.
Yeah.
So, and besides which, I don't need agreement.
Right.
What I want is truth.
Right.
Right. I mean, it sounds like you approach the show with an open mind. And hearing other people's points of view, whether you agree with them or not.
Right. And
they're free to believe what they want to believe.
You know, this is going to sound, maybe it'll sound a little trite. Maybe it won't. Okay. But I carry with me a laminated copy of something that I learned when I was preteen.
Okay.
Which is, a scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
Mm-hmm.
And except for maybe a little bit of reverent, I try really, really hard. And I'm not really irreverent, just a little.
Right.
I try really hard to live up to that and what's on the other side, which is the scout oath.
Mm.
And I try to be that guy without being clownish or, you know, overdone.
Right.
I don't want to beat people over the head with it, but I do pretty much want to be the Boy Scout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
There's no expiration date on the oath.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah, it does. I mean, there's no expiration on character or...
No. So you've been in radio for over 20 years.
23.
So what have you seen has changed in radio over these 20 years?
Well, I came in after the cart era, where we used carts to put ads on the air. I came in just after that, when computers, I came in to in 1999 when everything was computer. So I didn't see that change. Now what I've seen is content is more available from a lot of places. Like, for instance, you had to really fish around to get music. You pretty much had to get music on a CD if you wanted to play it on the air when I started. And now you can find anything you want by just Googling it.
Mm-hmm.
And our occasional license allows us to play like 45 seconds of anything on the air without having to pay a license fee for it. And so on the internet, I have to really jam it down to less than 5 seconds of unlicensed music, which I pretty much do. That's one thing that's changed. It's a lot easier to send something to a radio station today, and it's much easier. The computer speeds have gotten a lot quicker.
Oh, yeah.
So, but other than that, inside. Oh, and the other thing that's happened in all news media is the fealty for truth has disappeared. Media has become so much more polarized between left and right, with the Blaze media being somewhat to the right and Fox being more on the right. And you have MSNBC, which is basically an organ of the Democratic Party, and CNN. Mm-hmm. You know, they used to call it the Clinton News Network. Mm-hmm. And everybody's got their own point of view. Look, I have biases too. Look, everybody is prejudiced. Okay. Right. I'm prejudiced towards the White Sox. No, I declare, and the Cubs. Right. All right? Right. I like them both. I'm prejudiced towards those two. Everybody has some leaning.
Sure.
The question is, can you be honest about your leaning? Mm. And what I do is, I am biased towards I am based in objective reality and biased towards individual liberty. Mm-hmm. And I say that out loud and in the clear.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like it's covert or sneaky or anything else. I'm driven by the libertarian wind, but and I do come in on the starboard tack of the libertarian wind. If you know anything about sailing, it's tacking is how you sail towards the wind.
Right.
So right. But it, you know, but I'm trying to bring people truth in an open-handed and kind of funny way.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. My second question, follow-up question to that is, 23 years, how do you keep going? Like, I have a podcast of my own, and I can record a couple episodes, and I'm like, I need a break. But you keep going for 23 years. How do you do it?
There are things in this world which are much greater than me.
Mm.
And there are certainly things not of the world which is much greater than me. I don't have the right to lose my enthusiasm for that which God created. Mm. I do not. I don't own that right. I don't have a right to quit.
Mm.
I have a duty and a moral obligation. If I know something that can improve the lot of people, I have an obligation to share it.
Mm.
I'm not allowed by my code of conduct, which is basically the Scout Law, okay? I'm not allowed to just say, you know what, I'm tired of doing this. I'll screw it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna do this anymore. Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. No. I'm going to do it as long as I have breath in me. Mm-hmm. And I don't give a flying flop what anybody else thinks of it. I'm gonna do what I think is right. And another thing, I am not terribly invested in other people's opinion of me.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have the same kind of spoilers, drag anchors, and Fowler flaps on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I do need to be restrained so I don't do something, you know, that's so far out of line that it really screws people up.
Right.
But I don't have the drag on me. I'm single. Mm-hmm. I just don't have any, and I'm not looking. Right. I don't have these normal constraints that people have, and I'm not really worried about, concerned at all, or give a rip about what other people think of me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing really holding me back, and there's everything driving me forward.
Mm-hmm.
There
mm-hmm.
ain't a lot of friction between me and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Right.
Wow.
Long answer to a short question.
Yeah, that was great.
It took me a long wind up for the pitch.
Okay. That was perfect.
Well, I mean, the thing is, Charles, that you started out 23 years ago with a vision, and it seems like you've been living that vision.
Yeah.
You've been, you know, a vision of talk radio about liberty, and mm-hmm. you certainly live in the vision, and to be accommodated for that. I mean, that's, you know.
Well, you know, I could not have done it without, there's one factor that I could not have done without.
Hmm.
Barbecue sauce.
Yeah. Well, speaking of barbecue
sauce, yeah.
You know, this is a cooking show. Yeah.
Well, we're cooking.
We're cooking. And so where are you? I mean, you come out and you talk about Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know.
Can I tell you about Elliot's Barbecue?
Tell us. Tell us about Elliot's Barbecue.
Yeah.
My dad took me to this place when I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was Elliot's Barbecue on 55th Street, right near the University of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
It was under the elevated tracks.
Okay.
It was loud. It was brick with no insulation on the bricks. It was hot in the summer and cold in the winter.
Yeah.
And they had these old guys that were from the South, from Tennessee. All right. And they were, I said it right.
Tennessee.
And Kentucky. They knew how to make barbecue.
Yeah. Mm.
And you could not, I've just never had anything like it. I can't even tell you what the foods were. I was too young to remember.
Wow, really?
The only thing I remember specifically is they made their own donut holes.
Wow.
And those were the appetizers. I've asked you to make these.
Yeah, you have. Yeah. You talked about those donut holes. Right.
And they made these tiny little donut holes, and they put them in the fryer for that they made the fries in without changing the, you know.
Right. Wow. Right,
yeah. You know, and they cooked them. They've cooked them fast.
Right.
And then they took them from the fryer, and they'd shake the fryer, and then they'd just take out a small, like a cake plate, a cake plate, and they'd pop. And there were about maybe six or seven donut holes, and right on your, and they were sizzling, okay, from the fryer.
Yeah, right.
They took a tin shaker with really big holes, and it was powdered sugar, and they'd shake it on
those donut holes.
On the donut holes, and they'd take the plate and put it across to you. And I swear to you, if you got your finger anywhere near them, you burned your finger, let alone putting them in your mouth.
Right, yeah. Right.
Which, of course, I didn't give a rip about. Right. I just grabbed and threw it in my mouth. Second to blisters on my mouth.
Sure, sure.
Oh my gosh. Those were so good. I've never tasted anything that good in my life. And the barbecue, well, of course, the roof of my mouth was all burned. I couldn't taste.
Right, right.
Just, I mean, the barbecue was so good. They had ribs. I know they had ribs and they had chicken, but the barbecue was so good, and it was very sweet. I think it was very Carolina-ish.
Yeah.
Okay. But now that I know, I mean, what did I know when I was 5 years old?
Right, right.
But, oh my, that barbecue has just, I love Ellie. Someday, somewhere, I'm going to find the descendants of Elliot's barbecue, and I'm going to ask them to make me
some
donut holes.
That'd be bury me with five donut holes. And I, every time I go in your place, I think about Elliot's.
Oh, cool. That's a good thing.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
I think about it. It's because it's a pleasant memory for me and my dad taking me somewhere.
Right.
You know what else I remember? I remember the first, not that it's anywhere on the same level, but my first Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
First came to Chicago in 1964. And we had a 64 Oldsmobile, and my dad got the 21-piece bucket of chicken. And there weren't no extra crispy. I mean,
not back in the day.
No.
There weren't even French fries. I mean,
it's just chicken.
It was chicken and mashed potatoes and coleslaw. And that was it.
Wow.
Oh, and they had rolls.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, they had rolls.
Yeah. And it smelled so good. And he put it in the back seat of the 64 Oldsmobile. And I went over to the seat. He goes, "Don't you dare go in that bucket." And he says, I said, "Dad, you've turned this into the chicken mobile." He said, "You wait till we get home."
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Now, one of my older brothers worked for Kentucky Fried Chicken and when he was in high school. And man, the younger ones, we used to wait up until he got wait for him to get home from work because he'd bring home extra chicken.
Ooh, man. Yes.
Just wait for it. Something about, I don't know if they changed the way they cook it or the recipe or whatever.
I think they have.
But it just seemed to be a different kind of flavor and taste back then.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a great cartoon in Playboy from the 70s of Colonel Sanders being taken away in handcuffs. And it says, "We've just discovered the ingredients in those 11 herbs. And spices."
Oh, gosh.
The Colonel.
Colonel.
But Charles, like I said, Chicago, known for great food. And I know you're out here, and you're certainly a fan of Ken's Hardwood Barbecue. And we really appreciate all your support.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So. I will buy your food whether you buy my ads or you don't. Because it's good. I'll tell you something, that the surprise, the thing to me that is just the cat's meow at Ken's is actually the mac and cheese. Because that stuff, I mean,
it's so good.
Who needs crack?
Yeah, right. I second that. It's so good.
Yeah. That's my grandfather's recipe.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it goes way back.
Oh, gosh.
I tell you, I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing blue.
So, But Charles, it has certainly been a pleasure having you on the show today. But before we go, do you have any, you know, last words for our listeners?
Or? I do. I'm co-founder of a civil rights group called the Arizona Citizens Defense League. We are the primary self-defense civil rights lobby in Arizona.
Okay.
And we've had 65 good bills for the right to keep and bear arms and for self-defense go through the legislature over the last 16 years. Mm-hmm. It's azcdl.org, azcdl.org. And we are we support people's right to keep and bear arms, right to use force in self-defense if they're threatened. And we've done nothing but good, and no bad bills have gone through in the last 16 years on our watch.
That's
and we do a serious job and I'm their public relations guy still. Mm-hmm. I'm not on the board. I'm one of the four founders. I stepped off the board about 5-6 years ago to let new talent effervesce up. But that's one thing, yeah.
Okay, and tell us how our listeners can hear you on the radio.
Well, they can listen on KVOI AM 1030 from 10 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon on Sundays. They can listen live while the show is going if they're not in Tucson on KVOI.com and click on Listen Live. Or if they want to hear the podcast, they can go to LibertyWatchRadio.com and click on Recent Shows. And the last 6 months of Liberty Watch and America Armed and Free are on there. And the last 2 weeks of Swap Shop are on the Swap Shop page if you want to listen to the program, if you want to listen to everybody's used washing machines and refrigerators and me cutting up and playing sound effects.
Cool. I love it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Charles. I really appreciate you coming out today. And have a great one.
You too.
Bye. Hey, that's a wrap. Thank you for joining us today on Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. Remember, you can also hear us on Anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course on our website, kenshardwoodbbq.com. Thank you and take care.